name is Anita Foster. I'm the Library Media Specialist at Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hi, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the Library Media Specialist at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori Quintana, and I'm the Library Media Specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
And welcome to Overdue Conversations. We are so pleased today to have a couple of the Georgia Library Media Association's Library Media Specialists of the Year for the region. And so I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell you what schools they're from. And then we're going to just jump into interviewing them. All right. Anne, why don't you go first?
Hi, I'm Anne Akvital, and I'm one of the two media specialists at Cherokee High School in Canton, Georgia. And that's Region 2 for GLMA.
All right, Todd.
I'm Todd Cates. I'm the book wizard at Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia. I serve 1,900 kids and 170 faculty all by myself, which is fun on most any given day. And I believe we are Region 5, Northeast.
Awesome. Yeah, I have what region we are in Metro, so yeah.
I think we're 5.
Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, today. We're going to do a couple more interviews with some other Library Media Specialists of the Year later on in the week. So we've got some questions for you. Lori, do you want to start with the questions? Because you wrote them up and I haven't pulled them up on my phone yet.
Yeah, I mean, you just told or introduced yourselves, but and Todd, you kind of went a little bit into what type of school that you are a library media specialist at and the number of students that you serve and everything. But if you guys could just tell us a little bit about your libraries, and you mentioned that there's two media specialists at yours, but if you could just kind of give everybody a visualization of your library and what it looks like and what is happening in it on a day-to-day basis, that would be awesome.
So we're the oldest high school in the county. Like, every adult in our county went to our school, but now there's 6 high schools. So when I started there, been 50 years maybe since anybody weeded. So we really like the woman that was still there has since retired. And she and I just like dug in and revamped the whole library. I've been there 5 years now. We had 2,700 kids at the end of the last year. They're looking at 29 something to open this year, I think. It's very diverse population, you know, in all aspects, socioeconomic and, ethnicity and everything else. We have a lot of, students from Guatemala, and I never knew that not only do they not speak English, but a lot of them don't speak Spanish either. So that's probably one of our more interesting challenges. So we try to get those kids into our library like once a week, every other week. And we really work with them a lot. We have a makerspace. We've kind of done some of the trendy things of the past few years. We have a makerspace and we genrefied, and I feel like we have a really good group of kids that just like to read for pleasure. And then of course we try to support the teachers and the students in the curriculum, and we have we're trying to be one-to-one on devices in the library. So that's kind of our makeup, some of our goals. We're getting a new principal this year, so it's just constant change. It's always hopping, something's always happening, no 2 days are ever the same. I think that's what I love about it the most.
That's awesome. I know what it feels like to get a new principal. I had a new one this past school year too, and it's turned out really great, but it's definitely a learning curve for.
Oh, I think he's going to be amazing. He was an assistant principal at our school previous to this, and then they sent him up to an elementary to be principal, and now he's coming back, and he's bilingual, which is really going to help us out a lot. And so I'm excited. I'm going to miss our old principal. I've been like super blessed in the principal department. Everyone I've had has been fantastic, so.
Yes.
Makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I'm blessed one.
I'm going to say that my principal is why I'm here talking to you right now.
Just go ahead. That's awesome. Can't say enough about a supportive principal and one that really understands and believes in how important libraries are for students. Mm-hmm. So
he just, every idea I have, he just says yes. And I'm like, yay.
So I know.
That's
it's
how
awesome.
Mr. Crawford is with me, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I can come to him with the craziest idea and he'll try and figure it out. So that is awesome to have a supportive principal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Inspiring.
things so much easier, and it allows us that creativity that we need to build the programs that we have. So it's awesome.
Yeah, because you can have some great ideas and them not fly, right? If without the principal supporting it. And so, so yeah, it's awesome. It's a great feeling.
All right, okay. Todd, you want to tell us a little bit more?
Like I said, I'm at Appalachia High School. We've got about 1,900 kids. My media center, when I first got there 5 years ago, we had the obligatory rows of computers in one area. And the first thing I did was got rid of those and got a Chrome cart and bought cafe style tables so that kids could come in and feel more coffee shop kind of relaxed atmosphere in that area. I moved out some shelving that was making it hard to move around the space. My book stack area is a it's a two-story space and a lot of light coming in, so it's very bright, very open, other than the fact that I have 8-foot tall shelves. And this is our 20th year. We're the baby high school in town. So everybody that teaches at my high school went to the other high school in town years ago. But nobody's weeded in 20 years. So that's my project starting up this fall. When I was at my last school, I waited 5 years and then I started weeding there because I wanted to get a good feel of what was going on with the stack and what was going on with the catalog and the kids and the teachers and what their needs were. And so I'm going to start that process this fall, depending on what we're doing in the fall. I'm very fortunate that my principal, I was her first hire. She was the brand new principal and she hired me to come in with her. So I've always said to her, I said, well, you're allowed one mistake. You made yours right off. And it's been downhill ever since. But we're a very diverse school. We've gone from about a 60% graduation rate to about an 88% graduation rate in 5 years.
Amazing.
So we've worked really hard at literacy. That's been our biggest focus. 3 years ago, we're busting at the seams, as most schools are. So our English department chair now teaches in the library. So she teaches three out of the four class periods in the library. So I went and bought dry erase tables. We have the touch TV for most of our classrooms, but we've got one in there. And so, you know, we've really kind of revamped the space to make it possible for her to teach in there, for kids still to come in and check out. My long-term goal, if we ever get funding back, is to actually have a coffee shop in the library and separate those two spaces so that we can coffee shop and she can continue to teach and we can have kids checking in and out. So, you know, I want the library to be a place where kids want to come. I mean, we're literally in the middle of the building and I want kids there. So
absolutely.
I don't like kids, but I want them there.
Do you get to collaborate and teach with her at all since she's in your space basically?
All the time. She teaches AP Lang and AP Lit, and I get to work with her and the kids. She's also, we're a capstone school. She and another teacher are the capstone teachers. So I'm not a program guy. I don't do poetry nights and I don't sponsor the manga club. You know, we have one, but I don't sponsor it. I'm a co-sponsor of our gaming team, our esports team. But my focus is on research because I'm looking to the next step for a lot of these kids. And so I work a lot with them on Galileo, especially, and how to research and how to cite their work. And so working with her is really good in that respect. And I work on kids building their portfolios. Especially we have a strong CTAE program, and those kids, you know, they take those healthcare portfolios and they take their technology portfolios to the next step with them. And so I like to work on that stuff a lot more. I wish we had a second media specialist that could do programs for kids while I just focused on the other, but that's where we're at. So
yeah, you gotta do what you got. So
And I think that speaks to a lot of the heart and passion that library media specialists have in their jobs, because we just go all out no matter what with what we have for our students every day. And so it really sets us apart in the impacts we make and stuff. So so I just have a quick question, because you're both high school library media specialists. Todd, you were talking about the coffee shop, and Ann, you've got two media specialists. So Ann, how do you have two? Does your principal feel that there's a need for having two, or is it a requirement because of the number of students you have?
If this is state or local to Cherokee County, but kind of the rule of thumb at the high school is if you have over 2,000 students, you get a second media specialist. Up until then, they have a clerk at the high school. Our elementary and middles still are just one media specialist. I think if they could work it out, they would try to bring clerks back for us. But after Corona now, I feel like we're going to be in another recession. So, you know, none of us is holding our breath for that. We all do the best we can with what we have. And I feel really blessed that there are two of us, because we do get the opportunity to do some of that program he was talking about. Todd, I think you and I have a lot of similarities. I mean, we really went from like book warehouse to a learning commons, and you know, making it a place where kids want to come. We have a really strong CTAE as well. So we take whatever is thrown at us, and you know, there's rarely a lull, but if there is, then I can usually think of something to get kids coming in the door. We don't do the coffee shop concept. We have one in our school, but it's run through the lobby of the auditorium. I have tried it in the past, and I would love to have that happen in my media center. I'd love to have that coffee shop feel, but it ends up being so much extra work for us that we have not done that. I might give this new batch of kids another chance, but the times we've tried it, it has not worked well.
That's what I was wondering, if at the high school level, they have the maturity level to be able to handle that. No, still not? Okay. My school, with the middle schoolers, I tried it with the Keurig machine at first, and it just, you know, they did okay, but...
They wanted to extend it to full lunch coming in. You know, it's like if I give an inch, they yes. take a mile. And so they were bringing in full trays and sneaking in sack lunches and, you know, eating stuff out of their kangaroo pouch on their hoodies. So it just got a little crazy.
It feels great that they want to be in the library. Like, I love that. And so, yeah, kids are, like, they tell me all the time, can we just stay here all day, Mrs. Quintana? Can we just stay here all day? So have you
now, Lori does do lunch in the library.
Yes.
That's a big compliment that they're saying they want to stay there all day. That's awesome.
Yes, we...
Are you doing that too?
I do. Last year, we're a PBIS school, so last year they were able to use their PBIS points to come in. But frankly, that got super hectic, and I just had a whole bunch of kids, and we have... so many children that lunch runs for a very long period of time. So we're doing something different next year, but I'll still allow them to come in for lunch.
I have an iPad out in the morning where they have to come in and sign up, and then we send the list of students who signed up out to teachers every day so that they know who can come down to the library during their lunch period. But kids are running in there every morning, and there's a big line, and you know, we have to watch, you know, because we have to limit the number, because like you said, Ingrid, you still have other classes in there and other things going on in the library, so you have to make sure there's enough space for everybody. So I need a bigger library, and I like Todd said he had two stories. So when I was watching Breakfast Club the other day, it's amazing how libraries still have the same furniture as when Breakfast Club came out. A lot of them.
I was going to ask him if he had the sliding ladders. Library.
So yeah. So Todd, talk to us about yours. Yeah.
Well, it's
one and only at high school.
Yeah, it's the space is two stories. I don't have two stories of books, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
No, but it's a very tall. All very high atrium kind of feel to it, and so there's
no hanging things from your ceiling.
You can't hang any. Well, you could, I suppose, but I don't like ladders more than 2 feet high, so no, we're not getting hanging anything from the ceiling. I'm fortunate. I was in Douglas County before I moved out here to Barrow County, and I had a clerk there. And when I got here, they brought the clerks back everywhere except the high schools.
Oh, wow.
And then I got a phone call a week after taking the job here that they got a clerk for both of the high schools. So I'm fortunate that I have a clerk.
Oh, you do? So okay.
I can leave my space. You know, if I'm needed in a classroom, if I have to go help with technology. And that was the other thing, too, that I like about this job. I'm the library guy. We have a tech person in the building who does the technology. Now, I'm still on, I get called a lot anyway. Mm-hmm. And we have a digital coach. So I was doing all three of those jobs at my middle school in Douglas County. And when they told me all I had to do over here was the library guy, I about hopped in her lap. I was so
happy. Is that your Twitter handle, the library guy?
Just my name is my Twitter handle because the library guy was already taken.
So. Oh, no, but I did notice he called himself, what was it?
The book wizard. The
library wizard or book wizard?
I'm the book wizard. Yeah, they call me the wizard because I can do magical things. And again, we have to keep that in context as well with everything else. So, because high schoolers, you know, they'll go in all different directions with stuff like that.
Well, wizard, I want you to meet the queen because we call Lori the queen. Okay. Yes, her last name is Quintana, and a lot of people call her Queen-tana.
That started with my former principal. So, yeah, we had a great relationship, too. I miss him, too. So.
Well, and that's fortunate for me is that the relationship I have with my principal is so strong and my admin staff. I was listening the other day. You guys were talking to Aaron Baker, who I went through West Georgia with years ago.
Oh, wow.
Love her.
And, you know, she you guys were talking to her about leading from the center of the building or leading from the middle. And I'm in a very unique position where I have teachers that come to complain to me about the admin and the admin that come to complain to me about the teachers. And and I try to make it all work for everybody. And then I've got kids that just don't like anybody. And so, you know, we're kind of in that spot where we get it from all sides. And we are in a unique position where we try to make it work for everybody from all sides.
I always say I'm going to get bar stools and just put them along the circulation desk. I have not done that yet, but it's next.
I have bar stools.
So,
so you guys both just sound like you have amazing programs. What advice would you give other library media specialists about building their programs to the level that yours are at?
Whew. Well, we've talked a lot about this already. Getting your admin on board, step number one. Getting to know your students, really, you know, finding out what they want and need. I a lot of times will just go pull up a chair at a lunch table with five or six kids and I'm be like, ah, sorry to bother you, but can y'all just answer some questions for me? I'm thinking about doing XYZ. What do you think? I try to really do like the informal, you know, survey thing a lot and try to get to know them and what they want. And I try to do as much. I can't always do everything they want to do. Like when it comes to makerspace and stuff like that, it just, you know, things are cost prohibitive or whatever. But I try to accommodate them wherever I can. We have a lot of clubs that meet in the media center. We have a lot of offices that are in the media center. So we get a lot of, you know, traffic that might not come through other media centers. Otherwise, we have the work-based learning teacher in there for several years. We had the graduation coach in there for several years. So we get that kind of drive-by traffic and, you know, try to take their temperature while they're there. It takes a little while. I mean, two or three years to really get to know your collection, get to know your admin, get to know your staff, your students. You can't really start building until you have all that foundation work laid.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Todd? I just build relationships. That's what I am. I'm a relationship person. I'm an out there person. Quarantine has driven my wife nuts, having me around all the time. She's a middle school. She teaches sixth graders. So it's just a different level of obnoxiousness around here with me around all the time. But I'm out there for people.
Todd, are you saying you're more obnoxious than sixth grade boys?
I'm more obnoxious than seventh grade boys. That's how obnoxious I am. I'm out there, and I do all the announcing for our softball and baseball teams. In the hallways during transition, we have an atrium right outside where everybody goes through our building, and so I'm out there during transitions. I'm in the library in that classroom working with those kids all the time. I do what Ann does. I'll go into the lunchroom and I'll sit down with kids and I'll talk to kids and just to find out what their needs are. And I work really closely with my teachers because I figure if I get my teachers what they need, then the kids get what they need as well. And so I work really closely getting the teachers the technology, the apps, the materials that they need to make sure that they can serve the kids. So, I just build those relationships with people. And I love doing that. That's been one of the things I've loved the most about my job is getting to know the people that I work with.
I was going to say, I feel like there's been a big shift in what a librarian is. Not that you can't be an introvert and be a great librarian, but I do see a lot more extroverted librarians these days, mm-hmm. people who are willing to put themselves out there and go do whatever it needs to be done in the building, those other duties as assigned kind of things. Mm-hmm. We're always jumping in and doing those. And, I try to really, past few years, we've had anywhere from 5 to 15 new teachers every year. And so I really try to reach out to them because I feel like they can get lost in the crowd. And I just think you really, like Todd said, you have to really put yourself out there and be mm-hmm. approachable and let them know that you, if they don't come to you, you go to them.
Yep. Okay, Anne, I have to explain why I laughed when you said other duties as required or whatever, because Mr. Crawford and I have a really good relationship. If you've listened to any of our podcasts, you know that. And every year when we get our thing to sign, I always cross out other duties. Sign it and turn it in.
To get away with that.
He always brings me a new one and goes, I can't send it to the district like this. I said, I finally went, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But yeah, I think both of you are correct. It's the relationships that we build that's the most important. Relationships with the teachers, relationships with the administrator, and relationships with our students, and even with our parents. We haven't even touched on that yet.
Oh, yeah.
Our relationships with our parent supporters. Mm-hmm. So
very important.
Have a good parent base of support. I mean, especially Todd, with you being by yourself. I mean, you do have your clerk, but do you have any parental support? My sister, we're going to ignore her.
Your sister calls during every podcast.
I know. It's like she's got this like spidey sense. She's like, oh, I better call Anita.
Every day when she leaves work.
She want to be invited?
She calls every day when she leaves work.
Well, I think that's very sweet. That's very nice.
To check on us and to tell me all the gossip at her job.
Well, Ann and Todd, I think you guys gave great advice for our listeners.
Well, I want my answer. Do y'all have good parental support? And how do you utilize that?
I had a lot when I was at elementary school. I have a few now that seem to do everything. I don't have the quantity I had when I was at elementary school. But there's a couple of people that I know I can, call on at the drop of a hat. I did our first TEDx in our county this year, and it was a lot more daunting than I expected it to be. I just like jumped in, and started doing it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I need help. And so I had some really great moms. We have a pretty strong PTA. It's just not the same. It's not like you have moms in the library. I get them for special events. And if I ask, for something in particular, sometimes they'll do like mini grants for us, mm-hmm. Depending on how healthy our budget is that year in our PTA. But overall, the parent participation at high school definitely is less than at elementary. They're a lot more involved and invested at elementary. I think at high school, they're I don't know, afraid they're going to embarrass their kids by being there checking in and checking out books or something. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe Todd.
I've heard kids tell their parents, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
This is my space. But, you know, they're great financial support. I mean, that's, our parents are at my school, like tremendous financial support with our foundation and our PTSA. So
how much do you get a lot of parental support?
I again, work those relationships from the softball and the baseball side of things, because I do both of those, where I do the announcing is inside the concession stand. And of course, that is run by parents that are supporting the program. So I've developed some relationships there that have allowed me to ask for money. And I've gotten it sort of as a sponsorship through, just like they would do with baseball or softball. I don't have a lot of parents that come in and out. We have a very good community here of people that like to support the school. I like to rely on the kids more. My work-based learning coordinator is a good friend of mine, and she's always, you know, sending kids my way. We've got peer leaders in the building. And so I don't have a permanent work-based learning kid or a permanent peer leader, but if on any given day they can't make it to work that day, or there's something that's come up, and then peer leader doesn't have to be at their regular station, they come and work with me on projects. So, I'm trying to build, especially juniors and seniors, I'm trying to get them looking beyond the walls of Appalachia. And so you don't have to go to college. You don't have to go to a trade school. You have to leave Appalachia, though, and become a productive member of society. And if I can get you to the point where you can be productive in whatever goal you have or wherever you land, then I've done what I'm supposed to do, or what I feel I'm supposed to do.
You know, I'm glad, and I love how student-centered you are, student-accomplished-centered you are. I just think that's such an important piece of what we do, is really just staying focused on our kiddos and what they do and what they need from us to be successful, whether it's during their time with us or when they leave us.
Well, and I like to tell them I can't miss them until they're gone, so they need to go. And then I'll miss them.
There you go.
I love it. So what is one thing you would like to share about the GLMA Library Media Specialist of the Year process that would help benefit other library media specialists? So throughout the process of applying and waiting and all of that, like what's some advice you'd give to somebody else in the future that wants to apply?
I'm going to be completely honest here. When I got to Barrow County, if your principal felt like putting you on the Teacher of the Year list, that's the only way you could get honored as a library media specialist in this county. Mm-hmm. And Douglas County, where I came from, there's 31 media specialists. We were part of GLMA. They were part of that process. And there was some, I felt, and don't get me wrong, my county office is very, makes us feel very valued as people. But they just didn't get that we're not a classroom teacher. Do we do classroom teaching? Absolutely. But we're not a classroom teacher. And so I started complaining. And we have a great lady, Jenny Persinger, in our county office, who's our testing coordinator and a former media specialist. So she's our, you know, she would run our meetings every couple of months and bring in what we needed so that we can meet as a group. But again, I was in her ear constantly. I'm complaining. So they moved from Barrow's having us there. They then decided to add us a couple of years ago to what they call the Barrow Best, which includes counselors, food service, transportation, maintenance, that group of people. Again, do I do maintenance every single day? Have I heated up some kid's lunch every single day? But that's not where I am. And so this year they finally said, okay, we're going to allow you. And again, this was a fight we've had for the last 5 years, or I've had for the last 5 years. And I literally applied on the last day we could apply for the county, because I didn't want it for myself. There are some really dynamite people in this county that do some really dynamite children's and young adult and youth programming. And you know, not at the level of a Cicely Lewis, but still very important work with kids. Mm-hmm. And so I put my application together. I said, look, this is what I do. I'm much more of a research librarian. And they gave me the county nomination. And so they're like, okay, you need to do the regional. And they gave me the regional honor. And so I'm sitting here looking at the other eight people that are honored, and I'm going, man, I'm never complaining again. This is ridiculous because this is just silly. I mean, there are so many great people that do what we do. And I
want to interrupt though, and I want to say that you do need to do what you're doing. Look at the amount of advocacy that you are doing for your fellow library media specialists within your county, within your region. I mean, you changed the way that you're being viewed, and that is monumental. That is such a big task. And I think that's amazing. And you should be recognized for the work that you're doing, not only in your building, but what you're doing for your peers as well. I mean, that's just a tremendous story, in my opinion.
Well, thank you. But I promise you, I'm not going to complain again about anything out loud. I will work through the back channels this next time. But
Todd, here's the thing. For so long, and I have said this before, I'll say it to my dying breath, but for so long, librarians have been the meek, mild people. We're not that anymore, number one. I've heard 100 times, probably more, that you just want the glory. You just want the award. No, I don't. I want to bring advocacy. I want to highlight what I'm doing so that it gives those that might need some support and some help and some encouragement in their roles to do what they need to do. Because you know, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about any of us sitting here at this table. It's about our programs and what we're doing for our students and for our teachers. And for promoting librarians and library science and resources and research and everything that we do. We do it all. Kara Harpin was our library media specialist a few years ago, and we've all gravitated towards this thing. Our superintendent has this thing where he says, one team, one goal, student success, but there's two members of the team. You either teach those that teach and those that support those that teach. And we're like, no, we're the unicorn of the bunch. So now we all like embrace the unicorn because we're the unicorn. We teach and we support those that teach. So.
Well, and I've always said that, you know, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And I've always said, I like to be the equal sign.
There you go.
I'm right in the middle of all of it. And there's a problem and there's a solution and I'm going to get us there. And my first thought when I was told that I was the regional winner was good. Now maybe they won't think about cutting our programs as we go through this process here. Mm-hmm. And that's really been my ultimate goal is to make sure that we keep our programs intact. I can't do what I do if I don't have a clerk. Because I'm by myself, and which just means at this point in time I'm a really well paid clerk because I can't leave the space.
I hear that.
I can put a sign up and I can put up a scanner and you can check yourself in and out. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of success with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I don't think that that's the way you service kids. Mm-hmm. And my clerk is dynamite and she works, she's a reader and she loves to read not just adult fiction, but young adult fiction. So she's digging in with kids. I'm digging in with kids. But if I lose her, then it's just me.
Yeah.
And so now I'm bringing just my old white guy perspective to the process. Mm-hmm. And she can bring a whole different perspective to the process of getting kids what they want and what they need and what they need. And so I was really happy with the fact that I got nominated or honored in such a way that now my county office can't go, oh, well, you're out the door, because that's going to look kind of, not really good for them.
Well, I just want to say there's nothing wrong with wanting the award. So when people tell you, oh, you just want the award, well, sure, I want the award, but it's because it represents everything we do, right? So there's nothing, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with wanting the award. So,
well, and And the award aside, I am still just speechless over what you accomplished in your district, in your corner of the world, and how you have expanded that definition and changed the way that library media specialists are treated. And I am awestruck. I just can't say enough how amazing I think that is. Kudos to you. That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Anne, you wanna share yours?
You know, I've done this process a couple of times, and while he was talking, really, you know, struggling with what advice I would give to somebody else. It's, you know, you hear this on any kind of award that it's just an honor to be nominated, but I mean, I truly, really do feel that. It's great to win, but just even being considered and nominated is, shows that they're paying attention. They're looking, somebody noticed, you know. Mm-hmm. I got nominated by two of my teachers at my school, and other times that it had been by admin, and it almost meant more to me to be nominated by teachers. Mm-hmm. I wish students could nominate. They've kind of changed our rules in our county. It used to be admin only nominations, and now they're like, you know, you can self-nominate, or a teacher can nominate you, or another media specialist can nominate you. But I do think it shines a light on all the things that we're doing, and it brings a little bit of attention. And so for the advocacy piece of it, I think that's great. It's really hard. And you know, I don't know if this is a gender thing at all, but a lot of women have a hard time like going, hey, look at me. Like they feel like they're bragging or something.
Yep.
And I just happened to be watching Dr. Phil during all of this, and he got his star on, you know, the Hollywood Walk or whatever. And somebody said something to him about awards and nominations. And he's like, don't hide your light. You know how Dr. Yeah. Phil is. He's like, don't hide your light. So I really do feel like it's just kind of shining a light.
Well, and I think that's such a great point, because I think so many of us as women struggle to do that. You know,
yeah.
I think we're raised with the understanding that that's boastful and, mm-hmm. you know, that's not flattering to yourself, and you need to not, whatever, we need to be more modest and so forth and so on.
Humble. Humble, yeah.
Humble. That's what
yes.
You should be more humble.
Yes. Especially... I don't know so much with the kids that are coming up, right? Like the students that are coming up now, I don't know if that's the case. But. What did I miss? Why are we all laughing?
I was going to say social media has changed some of that for the kids.
Yes.
That are coming up. They're a lot more open.
Out there.
Yeah, they're out
a
there.
A lot more of them is out there too, unfortunately.
Lori just looked at me and went, ain't going to happen that way.
No, because you know what? It is a measurement of, you know, the impact we're making. You know what I mean? That tells us we're doing good things, and you know, we're making a difference with students and in our school with the teachers and supporting our admin and all of that. How else are you going to know if you're not recognized or somebody doesn't speak up and compliment you? And as far as the social media thing, yeah, there's a lot of edu celebrities out there. I hear that all the time.
Celebrities, you know, I like
what?
That.
I feel like we learn from each other. I love Twitter. I have it's a great big PLN and everything like that, but I feel like it's given a huge voice for school librarians that maybe wasn't there before. I mean, I'm pretty new to my position. I'm only going on my fifth year, but my former principal was like, get on Twitter if you want to learn. And so I did. And it's been amazing. I mean, it's put us into contact with each other that would have never happened before. You know what I mean? And so you can choose who you want to follow and not follow, but I follow some amazing, amazing educators out there, and I'm so thankful for them. But Anne, I don't know if you were finished with.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's just, you know, I guess my advice would be, you know, to be proud of what you've done and feel good about sharing it. And maybe you're helping somebody who's a brand new media specialist, look at it that way. You're bringing a little bit of attention to your school, which is, you know, mm-hmm. always great. Like I said, I wish it could be a kid nomination thing, because I think that would be really very meaningful to all of us. I mean, that's our number one customer. We have a lot of different customers that we serve, but mm-hmm. you know, it's every day in the trenches with the kids and helping them in a multitude of ways that makes the job, you know, interesting, makes me want to go to work every day, makes me love my job, is the kids. So
love it.
Yeah.
All right, so I think it's gonna be our final question unless you ladies have anything else. So they tell us to be prepared in and out of season. So I have had many a school board member or someone high up from the district walk into my space, and I had to have my elevator speech prepared. So can y'all give me your best elevator speech? Because I think that would be really beneficial to some of the other librarians out there that may have trouble developing one.
So I went to a workshop on elevator speeches, and I still don't have a pat one.
Right.
I think it's different with every person that I might be getting into that elevator with. I would say something different to a parent than I would to, you know, a business partner or an administrator.
Okay. Imagine it's somebody from the district who makes decisions on your budget.
Oh my.
Yeah, the upcoming budget. We don't know what our budgets are gonna look like when we go back to school. So what's your elevator speech?
Nothing like putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm gonna defer to Todd for a second while I think here and see if he's got a pat.
I tell my students to do my elevator speeches for me. Go tell your parents what you're doing in the library. What's cool about it? Why you love this? Go tell the principal when they tell me something that they love in my library. Oh, did you tell, you know, Mr. or Mrs. or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, tell your parents. You know, it makes an impact because it's all about their needs and serving them.
So, well, I just like to point out the fact that when I got here 5 years ago, where we were for our graduation and where we are now. And I certainly don't take credit for that, but I'm a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
When I got here, there was a closet full of books that were given, donated to our building by an organization. And the previous media specialist didn't like the content, so she didn't give them away. Well, the first thing I did was give them to the kids. That's who they were for. And that's what we're here for, is for these kids. And if they're not coming into this space, if they're not getting what they need, if we're not pushing them forward and moving them along, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And I can't do that without a budget. I can't do that without money. I can't do that without a clerk. I can't do that without a teacher teaching in the space. I don't want to lose her. I've had a lot of people say, oh, she needs to go back to classroom. No, I need her in this space. I need kids that wouldn't be exposed to AP Lang and AP Lit to come into the library. And I need them to hear that language, and I need them to hear the passion that she's teaching with. And I can't support her if I don't have the things that I need to support her. And so I need those things. I need my tools so that I can be the equal sign. We've got a problem. We know where we want to get to, but we can't get there without the equal sign. And so I've got to have what you've got so that I can do the things that I need to do to continue to make our success public and known and moving forward.
Well, and seeing it, right? So seeing what you're doing in your space has been probably the most impactful, you know what I mean? In all of the things that, you know, with you, was it, Anne, you said you have a lot of people in your library that come through.
Yeah, and we're inviting a few more in this year. So we're changing some rooms around, and what Todd said, I figured he'd trigger something in me. So we are actually adding a third teacher's lounge in the library. And I had a couple people do what he, you know, said. They were like, why do you want them in there? You know, and I'm like, because then they see what's going on. They see what's happening. The people that don't come in on a regular basis, whether they're students or teachers, they don't see the value. So if they're just walking by to get a cup of coffee or go to the restroom, and they see somebody else in there teaching, or they see 10 kids lined up at the circulation desk to get a book, or they, you know, whatever they observe in there, they take that back and share it with whoever. That just gets us more, you know, customers and makes us more valuable. And I love it when teachers teach in my space. I actually have 3 full classrooms set up in there. I can seat about 165 to 170 kids, and I've got about 110 devices, and I'm still working on that one-to-one on devices. I you know, want the traffic. The day goes by like that. You know, it's not a quiet space where nothing happens anymore. And I always hate it because it never fails. It's only in between classes that you get like certain people popping in, and all the kids are on their way to their next class, and they're like, oh, it's so nice and quiet in here. You must love your job. And I'm like, no, this is the, you know, 2 minutes every hour that there's not somebody in here. Why are you coming in now? Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that's it's part of the job.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It is. You know, you're right. It happens. Yeah.
I hate it when that happens. I'm just like, no, why weren't you here 10 minutes ago? You know, so, well, but everybody has this
in my library because I have a transition hall that goes through my library. So,
oh, wow.
So like I have to say, go play the lottery or something, because if you came in here in the 2 minutes when it was quiet, you're feeling pretty lucky right now. You need to go. So, yeah, that's great. So,
I was just going to wrap it up. I could keep going. This has been a great conversation.
It really has. I was just going to tell them, ask them if they had any words they'd like to share with our GLMA members, you know, positive, inspiring, something you want to just throw out there that you don't get a chance to tell our members or your peers or colleagues out in the school library profession world.
So I knew there wasn't a script or anything, and I was like, what do I need to have in my little back pocket just in case, you know, there's a lull or whatever. I thought y'all might ask what we've been reading or what we've been doing.
There's never a lull with us.
So one of the other media specialists in our county did a book study, a professional development book study on Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. Recently, and she was like, you need to read this book, and it's phenomenal. I recommend it to everybody. I would recommend it to every librarian in our state. And she really liked Teddy Roosevelt, and I started looking at some Teddy Roosevelt quotes. So this was my favorite one of all. He said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yes.
And I think that sums it up. We just care.
I love about that. Our kids.
Yeah.
Yes, that's awesome.
That is excellent. Todd, you have any?
My big thing is be out there. You know, this is not a profession for someone that's faint of heart, because you can no longer be the soft shoe shusher.
That you can't be a tight bun.
No, you cannot have a tight bun. You can't always wear comfortable shoes, mind you, but yes. You cannot have a tight bun. You've got to be able to be out there and. You know, I'm on several Facebook library groups, and it's amazing the amount of outward anger people have for the people that they serve. And I just think to myself, how can you do this job and serve people and get where you need to go if you're not out there and willing to be out there and willing to get to know the people that you're around and just building those relationships? Because what looks like bad behavior to you is really just maybe their cry for they need something. Mm-hmm. And we've got to be that something. And especially today, we have to be that something. We have a whole change in our culture coming on right now, and we've got to be that something. Or in my case, the equal sign, whatever.
Yes.
But we've got to be that something.
I like that, the great equalizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we really have that coming up when we get back with our students. We haven't seen them for how many weeks, except for, you know, in Zoom. but I think that school librarians are really going to pick up a lot of the social emotional part of, mm-hmm. you know, the aspect.
Yeah, we're already doing that, I think. You know, yes. I mean, there's some things we can learn for sure, but we already are like that safe space for all those, you know, I don't want to say like disenfranchised kids, but some of the kids that just don't have any other place to fit in, we get them. We have 4 lunch hours every day, and we get those kids.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
They got to have, that'd probably be my elevator speech. Those kids need some place to belong, and they belong in the library.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a little nervous about what it's going to look like when we do go back, and because I had a large group of students that would come in at lunchtime. I would have 100 or more in the mornings, and we have 700 students in our school. So
wow, that's amazing. I would have
100 in the mornings.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just hanging out and sitting at those cafe tables like you have, Todd, and sitting all over the place, and they find their quiet spot, or they find their group that they want to belong to, and a lot of socialization, and that's my time to walk around and build those relationships that that y'all were talking about earlier too. So that is very important that we're doing that. So
I agree.
All right. Any last questions? Any last? Well, I just want to thank you both for being with us today, and congratulations again. We're so excited for you. This is a huge honor to be regional and regional library media specialist of the year, representing your not only your district but your region. So just thank
you. Awesome leadership.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for all you've been doing and are doing.
And I'm so excited to be able to sit here and talk to y'all today, because like we probably see each other, pass each other at conferences and all that. And so now I love it. When I see you, I'm like, yay, how's it going?
We're gonna make up on if you see me in public.
But I feel like I've made more friends now. Like that's so important in our profession. You know what I mean?
Our peeps. So, yeah, I'm hoping we have ETC this year. I hope November things are starting to open back up again, because I'm excited about going. So,
Dr. David Beeland is one of the co-chairs of ETC, and I work with Caroline Bucky Beaver, who is one of the two co-program chair, so she's the one that runs the games. And as of right now, there will be two conferences, a in-person conference on the same day, which I've already signed up for, and a following that up with a virtual conference, so that there will be an opportunity to have, they're going to limit, obviously, because, you know, in the past it's been Swiss 1 and Swiss 2. Well, now it'll just be Swiss, so that we can spread people out instead of having us all like this in the chairs. Because I take up two chairs. I'm a pretty man spreader, I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to fill out my paperwork as soon as we hang up.
I love ETC, absolutely love ETC. I'm not going to lie, I enjoy the games. My digital coach and I have either taken first or second the last 3 years in the games. So, Amazon gift cards. I don't know what else to say, because we just are having fun with it. But yeah, no, they're planning as of right now, she had a meeting on Friday, they're planning to have an in-person and a virtual conference. So get your ETC stuff done, because I'll be there. I don't know about anybody else, but
I'll be there.
Okay, so I have to ask this real quick. Is that public knowledge and okay to be public, or do we need to cut that from the recording?
No, that's public knowledge.
Okay.
You know, they're just doing the one price. I don't know if they've announced it completely that they're going to have the two conferences. I don't know if they've worked all the nuts and bolts out, but they are going forward with a regular conference. And I don't know if they've changed on their website that they're going from 4,000 to fewer, but you know, the limit's always been 4,000 just because of space constraints. Yeah. But there is an ETC this year, or there is at least as of right now, a plan to have an ETC this year. So
excellent.
They took my money.
I'm a huge advocate of conferences. I love going to conferences. I get so inspired, and I learn such great things and meet such great people. And it's just one of my favorite things to do. I can't encourage people enough to get out there and be active with whichever one that you enjoy the most, and you know, and be active in our Georgia Library Media Association as well. And
they did an amazing job yesterday with their.
They did. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yay. So thank you guys. Like I said, I feel like I have two new friends. I'm super excited about that. And I always encourage people as well to stay in contact with each other and support one another, email, whatever, if get advice on some kind of program that you're trying to implement and work it out together. That's like one of the biggest components for me being part of Overdue is getting that collaboration going between library media specialists across Georgia or the nation, really, and work together to help us build each other's programs.
And Lori, before you stop recording, I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
Because I always do, you know. I just want to thank the two of you, Lori and Ingrid, because it was a little over a year ago that I came to you guys with this crazy idea, let's do a podcast. And we are just now celebrating our 1 year anniversary.
Congratulations.
So, we debuted last year at GAETC. So thank you for not going crazy.
And, well, we didn't say it. We didn't say
it. Yeah, you hung up the phone anyway.
Our profession needs this. It's so great that you guys are doing this, and we want to thank you too. I mean, I've never been a big podcast person, but when I got asked to do this, I thought I better go out there and listen to a few, and they're really great. Mm-hmm. And one of my good friends is Jennifer Lewis. She's part of GLMA, and she does a lot of things like this. And she said, I've heard of people, you know, using their podcast for their PD. And I was like, that's genius. I mean, how easy is that?
Awesome. You know, yeah.
If you're a new media specialist, go out there and listen to y'all's podcasts.
Actually, one of our first ones that we did last fall was especially for new library media specialists. Mm-hmm. We sat down with a new library media specialist in our district, and she spent over an hour asking us different questions, and mm-hmm. we would them as honestly as we could. So that one was especially for new library media specialists.
She flipped on you guys. She was the interviewer and you were the interviewees?
We were the interviewees.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So yeah, if you haven't listened to them, go out there. They're on all major podcast platforms. And now our last few have also been on YouTube because we're recording with Zoom, and we are posting our videos on YouTube as well. So thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you for having us.
Congratulations. Yes.
Congratulations for sure.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Just a reminder that all of our thoughts and ideas and comments are our own and not associated with our schools or our district.